Hi, this is Tiffany, and welcome back to Anchored Female, the channel where you will learn ways to apply your faith and transform your life. Today, we are going to continue our discussion on parenting, and we're going to focus heavily on character development. I don't know about you, but one of the things I probably have spent the least amount of time teaching my kids on, or maybe do it passively, I guess, is character development. Mostly because I've never been trained in character development and don't really know where to start, because half of the time I'm trying to figure that out at the same time as I'm trying to teach it. Like, for example, how to handle people that make me frustrated. Well, that's part of character development. And how to dress appropriately, not overly modest, but definitely not underly modest. I mean, look at today's culture and the way that people dress. There's a lot of skin and a lot of tight clothes, leaving very little to the imagination. That does not say a whole lot about the strength of our character. Not to mention looking at the attitudes and personalities within our culture, how people treat one another. There's so much hatred and so much getting even and a desire to right wrongs, but then an imbalance of what is actually right and wrong. I think character development is needed now more than ever, especially because our kids are experiencing life at an extremely fast pace, and they're surrounded probably, if my daughter goes to public school, so if yours does the same, your children are probably surrounded by more negative influences than positive influence. And then you look at social media and the news. The lack of character, the lack of positive character, is evident everywhere. I read the Bible every single day, and I've learned a lot about how to have better character, different things that the Lord wants and expects us as His followers to be like. Like turning the other cheek and not righting wrongs with our definition of the correction or the judgment of it and letting that be His job. But the actual walking out of some of that stuff is still not easy. Even though we know what the Bible says about it, how do we actually apply that to situations in our life? For example, one of the things that I learned in this book that I'm going to tell you a little bit about is that if I have a lack of patience, that means I have an overabundance of pride. I'm going to say that one more time just so that it sinks into your ear holes. If you or I struggle with patience, that means we have an area of pride in our life that we are unable to be compassionate and able to teach. Scriptures tells us to be patient when wronged, able to teach. So if we don't have patience, we then have pride. That's probably one of the hardest things that I've had to swallow in that, because I get impatient about a lot of things. And so I've really been made aware of my selfishness. And I wouldn't think of myself as being selfish. I'm sure you wouldn't either. But as I thought about it, I do a lot for my family, and I think I'm doing it without expecting anything in return. And that's when I get annoyed that I'm not getting anything in return, which therefore signifies that I definitely am not doing things and serving my family just to serve them and love them. So, no judgment or anything. That's just one of the small confessions that I have come across in this book that the Lord has made me aware of, and I'm working to make myself smaller. I'm working on humility, and I'm working on being more like Jesus, where He washed the feet of His followers. The King of Kings came to serve and not be served. Something I've known, but never really applied to my life. The book that I got, not realizing everything that was going to be in it to convict me and change me, is called A Treasure for Life. It's by some Hebrew rabbis. And before you think that I am Jewish, I know I am not. I am a Gentile. However, I do also realize that the Jews are the ones that have been handed down the ways of life. They've had the books and the trainings on how to live according to the word of the Lord. And so if we're going to work to walk with the Lord, I think it's extremely wise for us to look at what they teach about character development and how to live. I do actually believe that we should keep the feasts, not because they're a punishment or because it's law, but because the Lord told us that they are His feasts and that we're supposed to keep them forever. And I don't know if you've ever done the feast, but within each of the feasts is a remembrance. It is great for us to teach our children to remember. The Passover, for example, when God had the Israelites flee out of Egypt, that's such a great blessing with the sacrificing of the lamb and the freedom that came with that. Did you know that that is the exact same time that Jesus was crucified on the cross for us? There's parallels that exist between what has happened in the past to then what is happening in the future. So, for example, the Feast of Trumpets. Many say that that is actually the feast in which the Lord is going to return. One year, we do not know when, but during that feast, because everything aligns exactly on time as it should be. So why wouldn't we do them? Just to remember what the Lord has done in the past and what He's doing for us today. So if that's any, you know, little asterisks and training there, I hope that you do look into the feasts and just understand where the history is in that and why we would celebrate them. I mean, we're so quick to celebrate Easter and Christmas, which are created by man. Why not also, if anything, add on some of those feast days, at least honor them and recognize them and read some content about them. So there's a little plug there. But back to this book. It's called A Treasure for Life. Again, it's a commentary and insight to classic guide of character perfection. I bought it, to be honest, just for my own character development. But as I was reading in the book, I thought there is no way that I cannot teach my children this. There is no way that I can learn such amazing information of how to be a better believer and walk in this crazy world with character and virtue and value and not want my children to do the same thing. So yes, selfishly, I got it for myself. But now we're starting to go through it as a family. It is a little difficult to follow in some areas. My kids are about teenagers, but I think as you read it and develop this information on your own, I think you could actually take a lot of this stuff and just start applying it to conversations with your kids. I do wish that I had this earlier and was able to teach some of this. As I read it, I guess I have sort of trained my kids in some of the ways that are in here, but definitely not to the depth of it, especially when it comes to humility and pride and faithfulness and how to treat others, especially when we're wronged, and then how to apply patience and all the things. So I feel like I'm a little behind the ball because I only have probably 3 years left with our oldest and 7 years left with our youngest, so it's not a whole lot of time left. But we're digesting this slowly and surely. I am excited to say that on Sunday was our very first time of starting it. We probably only got through 3 or 4 pages just because it is extremely deep. But I was so impressed with the girls and how they were taking notes and asking questions. And the funnest part when it comes to teaching our children is if we're not asking them questions, they're not going to learn it. The brain works in a certain way where they have to sometimes receive the information and then also be asked how to apply that same content to their daily life. So, I mean, even the youngest kids, you know, in preschool or younger, we can ask them how we treat a friend when they do something wrong to us. We can start instilling those habits in them early, and that is only going to set them up for success as you continue to deepen that character development. In the first chapter, the first few pages we discussed with the girls were on the chapter of pride or haughtiness. And a lot of it was surrounded by how prideful we are in our bodies and how our bodies are just gonna end up being filled with maggots, right? We're all gonna die and we're gonna decompose. So why do we spend so much time focusing on what we're listening to, what we're wearing, what people think about us and what we're wearing, how we look. But then in the same breath, we can't then walk around feeling like, you know, wearing not cleaning ourselves and looking awful. We're supposed to have that as a balancing act, which I think I talked about in one of our other passages. But it was nice to hear the girls' insight and how much time they do spend concerned about the thoughts of other people based on how they dress and what they wear. Isn't it so like us to be more concerned about man's opinion than God's opinion? And in later chapters, it talks about the fear of man and how much we focus on that when our ultimate goal should be to solely focus on what God would think of us. And if we asked ourselves that question instead of what man would think of us, the book says that man would actually think higher of us, that we would actually be more loved because we have character that others want to attain. So if we work on character development over physical development, everything in our life will change. We'll be able to talk to people in a better way. We will be more patient and kind and compassionate and actually have an impact on the kingdom of heaven versus just an impact on not being judged by others. I mean, Brené Brown says it best when she says that if someone is going to judge you, which most people aren't, but if the person is going to judge you, they're usually not in the ring with you doing the same hard work. And therefore, their opinion doesn't matter. My girls admitted that the hardest thing for them is people pleasing. It's also trying to not fit in with the trends, like what to wear and music to listen to, things like that, because they're so high, plus then social media. That trend is so in their face all the time. It's hard for them to separate themselves from that. And so it's great to know the things that they struggle with. And that's why asking them questions versus just talking at them is so vitally important for their character development. Because when they apply it, things change. I don't know if I told you guys this in the last podcast, but I was talking to my daughter about the importance of whose opinion she's going after. She wants to play college basketball. And she, at times, gets very distracted by the small world of school and a few people at school and wants to impress them and be accepted by them. And I said, Jada, the ultimate goal that you have to look at is that you want the approval of God only. And then the second is maybe a college basketball scout so you can get recruited and get a full ride to play basketball somewhere. Now, anything other than that, really anything other than God's approval, is a distraction. It's a derailment of our purpose and our intention. If our kids start to learn that at a young age, that's going to be even better. But the greatest thing happened. This was last Wednesday. And we went to youth group, and the topic of youth group were distractions in life that keep us from our goals. And so she told me that in her small group, she ended up saying the words that I told her out of her own mouth. When that happens, y'all, that's when our kids change, is when it comes out of their mouth. Not when it comes out of ours, because it has to be a choice that they make. Any change of any human will only happen within that human. There is nothing that you can do to make someone change except for be an example. That's it. Because even those children that are difficult and rebellious, if you remain consistent, they will come back someday and say, thank you for being consistent. Thank you for always being the same because I trust you now because you're consistent. I can rely on you and I actually want to be like that. But if we are inconsistent with our words and our actions, if we are inconsistent on following the Lord, they too will be inconsistent. But not only that, you'll lose the ability to speak in their life. It is so important to teach and then let them learn. And let them fall. I'm preaching to the choir here. I'm not the best at letting the kids fall. I want to prevent them from every pain possible. But I actually don't. I actually don't want that. I want them to struggle. And then I also want them to have me as a safe place to come to talk it out. To be able to overcome the challenges that they face. I didn't take real good notes this week when we went through this book. So when we go through it again, I'll take some better notes. And I'll share with you a little bit more insight on what the girls are sharing with me and what they're learning in this. Because I think the most important part is that each of us are going to learn from this a little bit different. And if you have kids and you're listening to this podcast, I'm sure that you could benefit from some of the things that my girls are struggling in, especially if your kids are in the same age group as mine. Thank you so much for joining me. For more support in this area or any of the other ones that we talk about, you can go to anchoredfemale.com and explore all the content there. You can also click on Work With Me and sign up for a free session where you can experience the Lord more in your personal journey. Don't forget to give this podcast a 5-star rating so that we can build up more anchored females. May God bless you in His truth. Bye now.